because of sin and because of consequences, every single household in Egypt will suffer death, and every single household of Israel will suffer death when the destroyer comes and pays the penalty to every house. But it doesn't have to be that way. He gave them the option that they could have a lamb that would pay the price so that death would, you know what I'm about to say, pass them over. Now, this was super significant for Israel. It's really interesting in Exodus 12, before it even happens, God sets up a memorial for it. He says, look, every year, I want you to remember that I did this. Every year, you're going to take in a week and you're going to offer over 100 lambs to remember this moment that that lamb paid the price for your benefit, for your house's benefit. So let's read that story. It won't take long to do. I'm in Exodus chapter 12, and let's read the actual event beginning in verse 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, go and take for yourselves lambs according to your families and slay the Passover lamb. You shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood which is in the basin and apply some of the blood. And we know this picture. Apply some of the blood that is in the basin to the lintel and the doorposts, and none of you shall go outside the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the doorpost, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to come into your house to smite you. You shall observe this event as an ordinance for you and your children forever. When you enter the land which the Lord will give you, as he has promised, you shall observe this rite. And when your children say, what does this rite mean to you? Here's what you say. It is a Passover sacrifice to the Lord who passed over the houses of the sons of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians but spared our homes. And the people bowed low and worshiped. It goes on to say in verse 28 that they did exactly what God said. They came in contact with that blood by sacrificing the animal and putting the blood over the doorpost. At midnight, in the darkness, there's always this kind of light darkness diagram in scripture from the very beginning. In the darkness, in midnight, in the darkness, the Lord struck the firstborn all the way from the firstborn of Pharaoh's house, verse 29, to the firstborn of the cattle. Pharaoh arose in the night, he and his servants, and they cried, and there was not a single home where someone wasn't dead, and they led them out. That is the picture of what Jesus is for us. Because of sin, death is spread to every household. There should not be a single household that is not succumbed to the penalty of sin. But Christ's sacrifice and his blood and your contact with his blood can have you rest at night in peace. Last night we got a storm about 3 a.m. We got a real live storm. But I rested in peace. I believed in that house and that everything would be okay, and the storm passed over. Well, death passes over the Emerson household if the blood of Jesus is protecting us. If the blood of Jesus has paid the price that I deserve, and that's what Christ's blood has done, really his body and his blood. Now, go with me to John chapter 1. It was important for us to get this. Even before the author Paul wrote those words in the passage we'll finish with in a moment, this was important. In John chapter 1 in verse 29, when he saw Jesus coming, what did he say? He said in verse 29, the next day he saw Jesus, John 1, he saw Jesus coming to him and he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He said, I want you to see him for what he is. He is the sacrifice that will pay the price for your sin. He is the reason that death will not visit your house. He is the Passover lamb, and that's what his sacrifice was. His sacrifice was that lamb pouring out that blood to cover you and your house. It's found there in John chapter 1. He mentions it again in John chapter 1 and verse 36. Behold the Lamb of God. Now go with me to John 19, where he was dying on the cross. In John chapter 19, you might be like, okay, it says he's the lamb, but is he the Passover lamb? Is he represented by that blood over that household? He was, and here are a couple of ways we know it. The quote that we'll finish with, but also, do you guys have in your Bibles, look in John 19, 36. When you have an Old Testament quote in your New Testament, can you tell it? Like, is it all caps? In other words, John 19, verse 36, when Jesus is dying there on a cross, the text says, for these things came to pass to fulfill the scripture, not a bone of him shall be broken. Do you have all caps or italicized or something? That's saying when Jesus is dying on that cross and he breathes his last and they go by and they're going to break the bones of the legs to make the death happen faster, when they get to Jesus, they did not break his bones because he was already dead. This was to fulfill the passage, Old Testament quote, "They shall look on him who was pierced," verse 37, but verse 36, "not a bone of him shall be broken." Where's that from? You have a little marginal note where you can tell where that's from? That is from Exodus chapter 12. One of the significant things. There were lots of lambs offered for sins. There were guilt offerings and burn offerings and all that. But unique to the Passover lamb was that not a single bone, this is Exodus, not a single bone of that lamb shall be broken. There was a wholeness to that sacrifice where it was the body and the blood. He's saying Jesus is that sacrifice for you. Now, the significance of that just resonates through the whole New Testament. Go to Hebrews 10 for a minute. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10 is talking about the sacrifice of Jesus and his blood. And I don't think it's specific to just the Passover lamb here. I think it's representative of all of those animals that died to show that somebody's got to die so you can live. Somebody innocent and pure, did nothing wrong, is going to have to die. That's the only way to save you. And it was animal after animal. But Jesus came to fulfill all of that. Hebrews 10:10. By this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body. We're going to partake of this in a minute. The offering of the body of Jesus Christ for all. He goes on to say, look, back in the old days, priests would stand daily ministering, offering time and time again the same sacrifices, which did not have the potency to take away sin. Just kind of covered it. But verse 19, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. So I want you to notice this for study later. Verse 10, the body of Jesus. Verse 19, the blood of Jesus. We're about to partake of both of those things. We're about to think about the body of Jesus. That's verse 10, sacrifice once for all. We're about to think about the blood of Jesus that washes away our sins and only needs to happen one time. But the word I want you to see is the word confidence. Confidence. I slept well last night. I did wake up at 3 o'clock, but I slept well because I was confident that I would be safely kept throughout the darkness into the morning. When you think about what it means that he becomes the blood over your life and your house, folks, we're supposed to be confident. You're supposed to come out of this memorial thankful and confident of your salvation. Confident that he paid the price and that death will not touch you in him. He goes on to talk about this idea of confidence by a new and living way, by his flesh, verse 20, so we can draw near, verse 21, in full confidence of faith. So I've got just a couple things yet to say, but please know that this is what he is for you and that we should have confidence of our salvation. Those guys were told, wasn't it interesting? They were told, go in and go to bed and don't look outside until tomorrow. How many of them you think wanted to look outside? What does that destroyer look like? Did I get enough blood on the doorpost? How's this really going to work? He said, you go inside and shut the door, and tomorrow when the sun comes up, you will be alive. That's confidence. That's what the blood of Jesus does for us. Now, do we have a responsibility in that? We do. There's always that part of it. And in 1 Peter 1, as we wind this up, 1 Peter chapter 1, I think it's just interesting to note that this talks about the blood of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17, if you address as Father, the one who impartially judges according to each man's work, conduct yourselves in fear during your stay on the earth. You say, well, what is it? Do I have confidence or do I have fear? Well, check this out. Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things, like silver and gold or some animal from the field, from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers. But you were redeemed by precious blood, as of the Lamb unblemished, the spotless, the blood of Christ. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. You know what the fear is in verse 17? The fear is facing God if I malign this sacrifice. That's the fear. The fear is me facing God one day and him saying, okay, so I gave you the best ever, the most potent sacrifice to save your entire house and defeat the scariest enemy that ever existed, death, so that you could live confident. And you decided to use that, living in the world, doing whatever you wanted to do. I didn't pay for you with a couple of bucks that I don't care about. I paid for you with my son. And I will not face God having had him offer that lamb and me walking around like he offered 10 bucks. It's too much. That's the idea of this. Our response, grace, faith to life. That's the grace. Let's go out and live the life. Now, the last thought here is to get to that final context. Anybody know, by the way, where that quote comes from? 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and it's in verse 7, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 5 and 7. Let me get there. 1 Corinthians 5, 7. Clean out the old leaven so that you will be made a new lump, just as you are, in fact, unleavened. For Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed. The last thing I want you to think about, please, because we're going to get into this in the lesson about love of brethren, like the way God's people love each other, how significant that is. This text mentions Christ, our Passover, but it really wasn't about him as much as it was about the people that he purchased. We've got to clean out the old leaven because Christ is our Passover. Christ gave his life to procure a people of righteousness. We need to be a pure people, not just a pure person. I think I could keep going all morning. I apologize. But like, to me, the Lord's Supper's gotten way too individualistic. It's way too much about Chris and Jesus having a private conversation. I don't even look at you guys. I just stare at you. I don't even look at you. I don't even know why you guys are here. I'm doing this to you. Like, it's gotten so individualistic, and it's a big swing and a miss at the whole point. The whole point is Jesus did that so that he could procure this body of people. His body purchased not Chris. His body purchased the body. And when I think about his body, I need to think about the body, and I want to protect this body. I don't want there to be immorality and sin, 1 Corinthians 5, that is maligning the body that he bought. I don't want there to be disputes and anger and division in the body that he bought. So when you're partaking today, I want to ask you to do this. Think about his body and his blood and the blood that gives you confidence. But also think about that wasn't just for you. That was for the body of people of which you are a part. So think about your part in that body, because that's the idea of 1 Corinthians 5. Let's pray together. Our great God in heaven, we glorify your name, and at this moment we're thankful for the sacrifice that you were willing to make, for the great sending of your Son, for the unblemished and perfect Lamb who gave everything for us, though we didn't deserve it, for the power of his blood to be over us so that we can rest at ease, knowing that his sacrifice has given us life. We're thankful for the time that he spent in the flesh and for the sacrificial Lamb that he was. And as we partake here of this bread, may we remember his body first, his physical offered body. But today, Lord, I pray that we also remember the body that was purchased by that body, and that we seek for love and unity and purity as one. May we think on those things as we partake. In Jesus' name, amen. Our Holy Heavenly Father, as we have asked your blessing upon this bread that we have partaken of, that exemplifies who we are as the body sharing in that which was purchased by his offering, we also put our attention on the power of the blood, the cleansing power of the blood of the Lamb. In Revelation, even as he is in heaven in glory, we're asked to continue to picture him as a lamb that is slain, and to see the martyred souls there as those that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Thank you for that blood, and as you did with Israel, telling them how to access it and what to do. Thank you for doing that for us. Thank you for telling us exactly how to access this incredible power through penitence and baptism and commitment. What a small price for us to pay so that we can sleep at ease being covered by his sacrifice. As we partake of this fruit of the vine, let us also remember that a covenant was ratified by it, that we are now a part of his family and subject to his rule. Give us humility and thoughts of him in Jesus' name.